Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome in. Sabres prospects are on ice today to get ramped up for the Prospects Challenge that begins this weekend with Marty and Brian. Marty, how are you? And what is your big storyline, if you will, to start the Prospects Challenge week?
Well, listen. Before we jump into the Prospect Challenge, I want to say that I really appreciate those on social media, especially X yesterday, that when the NHL Network put the Goathead logo and says, who is the first person you think of? It took a while for anybody to say my name. And then somebody said, no Marty Perron in there? So I have to appreciate that it started a little bit of a flow of my name being thrown in there after one person, maybe like after 500 names had been dropped, they said, hey, how about Marty? But our good friend at Sabres Fun Stats put a picture of Jeff Gilson out there as the first name he thinks
about. I would have thought of him before you, I can assure you of that.
Well, you know what? It's a good picture with the green Easton stick and the flow.
He played in the playoffs.
With Boston.
No, Buffalo.
With us too. Yes, you're right. He was one of the three regulars. Let's just put it this way, because with Pacher, Dougie Janik, and Roy Fitzpatrick, Brian Campbell, Jeff Gilson, I don't think Hank was Hank hurt. May have been Tony Lundman that was with
them. One of them had a broken arm. I'm pretty sure it was Hank.
Hank was hurt. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like in Game 7, Jeff Gilson was one of our regular against Carolina in 06. It was that's why you may be thinking of him. But anyway, Jeff Gilson is not a prospect. Jeff Gilson would not be on the ice with the prospect this afternoon. But when it comes to the prospect challenge, I think there is I don't want to build it as to say there's an attitude going into it. But the Sabres are basically saying we have one team. They brought in 13 forwards and 7 defensemen. Mm-hmm. Most of their guys are going to play all 3 games. Last year, they had 15 forwards and 8 defensemen. So you're going to have, you know, guys that are going to miss a game here and there. It's not going to happen much this year. As you're playing Friday, Saturday, Monday, let's go. You're going. And Kulik and Roseanne and Austin and Wahlberg and those guys are all there. It's the attitude of saying, you know what? Let's start off running. Let's set the tone. Something that I feel Kevin Adams was disappointed last year, not with the prospect because it's the prospect, but just the tone of camp, especially with the main guys, not really like getting off to a good start in camp and the season. I think that attitude seems to have shifted this year and saying, we're going to have our main guys. They're going to be there at the prospect tournament. They're going to play. Let's go. That's the way we hit the ground running.
Do you think that the players think the reality has shifted, that there's fewer spots for them as they enter Prospects Challenge?
I think that's a very solid point, Duffer, that there is few spots. And it's like, hey, you know what?
Is that reality, though? Like, should they think, I would say they should never think that, but that's just me sitting here all hopped up on cold medication. But whatever, you should never think that way if you have a chance.
If you're in camp, you have a chance. You have a chance.
Right.
If you come into camp, you have a chance. Now, I remember showing up to my first training camp thinking, I'm better than everybody in the goalie room. That included Dominic Hasek. And I was young and naive, but There is something to be said of, I am fighting for a spot, regardless that it is 1 spot, 5 spots, or 10 spots. I'm fighting for it. And a lot of fans are going to say, oh, wait a second. Yuri Kulik has already played 2 seasons in Rochester, and he's playing again in Prospect Challenge. Isaac Roseanne is playing again in Prospect Challenge.
Well, he's no Graham Clark.
You're right there. We have seen Graham Clark multiple times, and there's other names that we've seen with other organizations coming in that played a ton of prospect challenges. But Ryan Johnson, for example, he played 41 NHL games last year. Mm-hmm. He's going to be in the prospect challenge. So to me, the attitude is, look, when you put the jersey on, that it is prospect challenge, that it is preseason games, regular season games, whatnot, we want you to dominate. We want you to go out there and really make it hard on everybody else. Yuri Kulik is going to get a chance to play. If he goes in 3 games, plays at a high level, all of a sudden you're like, oh, well, is Sam Lafferty or Peyton Krebs or Obi Kubel or those guys' job in a lesser convincing place because Jiří Kulik is pushing. There's the opportunity for Jiří to make that happen.
Does Krebs have a contract?
No, and that was a question we got on X late last week. Like, and what's happening with Peyton Krebs?
Well, he's a dad.
He's a dad. Yeah, I think that probably took precedence. Priority on the list. He probably called his agent less. And I've been there calling my agent 2-3 times a day saying, hey, what'd you think about this morning? Same as yesterday. At lunchtime, did you guys talk? No, not yet. Dinner time, what about this afternoon? We changed the text or whatnot. Maybe it's dropping down to one call a day. Mm-hmm. But Peyton is on the ice working out, skating with the guys. I'm sure they want to get it done. But right now, there's a lot of bodies, even including those guys in Prospect Challenge that will be part of the main camp. There's a lot of bodies that are fighting for spots on the main roster. And if you're Peyton Krebs, you're probably starting to, I would think, worry a little bit that you don't have a contract.
Yeah, I would think the same. I just don't quite understand it. I mean, Nick Robertson got his done yesterday. Different players, different situations. Happy birthday, Nick Robertson. Newsmaker Nick, we call him around here. He's somehow gets in the cycle every day.
He kept us going. Nick Robertson, thank you for a summer of good headlines.
Summer of Nick.
I'll tell you, Duffer, the mentality of the player and the agents when going through something like Peyton Krebs is going through right now changes from the perception from everybody around. Like, I held out until October the 1 year. Dominic Hasek is the goalie with the Buffalo Sabres. The Sabres have first-round pick Mika Noronen there to back up Dom. Mm-hmm. Like, what are they going to do? Like, cave to my every demand? Like, my agent and I are like, I had 19 wins last year. I saved the season because Dom was hurt, and I got us to the playoffs and this and that. And Darcy Regier's thinking, like, probably not, we're not telling him that, but he's thinking, if I have Marty, I have Marty. If I don't have him, doesn't matter. It doesn't change my team. I have Dominic Hasek. I'll fill in with Mika Noronen, no big deal. But my mentality was, they need me. They need me. I'm a big part of this. And I think you're in your own bubble. And I think Peyton Krebs probably finds himself a little bit in that bubble thinking, hey, you know what? I was part of the Jack Eichel trade. I'm a first-round pick for Vegas. I've been in the league now for a little bit. I'm going to get an opportunity. Okay, the perception around there is around, you know, everywhere else is, hey, it's not a guarantee. There's a lot of competition there. There's a lot of players that are maybe pushing you out of there. So the inside and outside perception when it comes to these negotiations always are very different.
So when do you think it gets done?
I think at this point, I think if Peyton, and I don't know that, you know, official, nobody's really talked about it, but if Peyton is willing to take a 1-year deal at what his qualifying offer may have been, I think that gets done before camp. But if Peyton Krebs is looking for a 3-year deal and wants, you know, a bump in pay and all of this, it's not going to get done because you have other players that are going to fill in that spot because you went and acquired 6 different guys to fill in your bottom 6 this year. You know, between McLeod and Obi Kubel, Lafferty, Malenstein, you've got guys that are going to come in. You got Zach Benson, who, you know, going to be second-year player that made a good impression last year, and maybe anybody from the Prospect Challenge that's going to make an impression that Benson did like Benson did last year. I feel like the only way out, and probably what Kevin Adams is waiting, is for Krebs and his agent to say, yeah, we'll take the 1-year deal and we'll go with that. That's really the only way it gets done, I think, before camp.
Obviously, it can't really be about money, right? It's more about term.
Well, obviously, I don't think Peyton Krebs is going to sign a 3-year deal at $1 million. I think Peyton Krebs may look at a 3-year deal.
But why would the Sabres want that right now?
Probably just because $1 million, if it doesn't work, you can put that player in the minors. It doesn't cost you anything on your cap, and you have somebody signed for 3 years. I think the Sabres may be willing to say 3 years, $1 million or $1.2 million or whatnot, just to say under the threshold of what AHL, you know, money accounting against your cap would be. Or it's easy to move or to throw into a deal because you say, hey, you got two more years of Peyton Krebs at $1 million, $1.2 million or whatnot. But I think the easy one here is to say, let's get it done for 1 year. Let's see if you can give us something to really feel like you are part of this core moving forward. If not, I mentioned the young guys, the Kulik and the Roseanne and, you know, but the Lucas Rusek and the Brett Murray and those guys, like they're all going to be looking for an opportunity just like Peyton Krebs would be if he's in camp.
Right. Rusek obviously on a one way this year. And when you look at the list of players that are here for Prospects Challenge, and then was not planning to do this exercise, but, I don't plan to do a lot of exercise. It's probably why I feel like crap. I don't know, but like, look at the names at the Prospects Challenge and think, and then throw Krebs in, you know, just like looking at it, you know, who has opportunity here? How much damage could a really great Prospect Challenge / training camp from one of these players, how great an impact could that have on Krebs' future place within the Sabres group of 12 or 13?
Well, you know what? I'm looking at the list on MSG right now, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that it's 12 minutes in and we talked Prospect Challenge. I haven't mentioned Konsta Alenius' name yet. That's another guy that...
I think it's more relevant in the Krebs discussion.
That's another guy that should be really mentioned, that if there is a, hey, let's take a flyer on a guy. Let's give this out of, you know, the box kind of like chance to a guy, it would be Konsta Alenius. And knowing that he'll come over to North America, adjust to the style, but hey, let's surround him because we have a roster spot that we thought was going to get filled up by Peyton Krebs that may not be filled up by Peyton Krebs. And all of a sudden, instead of a 19 in that spot, it's 94. It's Konsta Alenius that is going to get an opportunity. And maybe it's only to play fourth line center, get him, you know, 10, 12 minutes a night. You get him used to it. But it's a reward if the guy performs and gives you everything you want. You have that wild card. It's like you're sitting on that ace that is like, hey, there's a spot open. Why not we try him there and give him that opportunity? I think there's a valid, valid point right there with Konsta Alenius.
So if they're, like for Alenius, I don't know. Here's a different way to look at it. Among the five first rounders, and especially the group up front, who should feel the most confident or optimistic that he could actually get more games with the Sabres in the course of preseason and early season?
Who should in the group of guys at the prospect?
Yeah, challenge? Like if you're lining up Alenius, Kulik, Roseanne, Wahlberg. Like, what are you thinking when you think of that as far as...
I think the name that comes out is Yuri Kulik. And one of the thing, and this is maybe not the way of looking at it, but the Sabres are starting in Czechia. They're starting in Prague. Yuri Kulik is represented Czechia at the World Championship the last 3 years. And maybe that's an incentive for him to say, look out. Watch me in Prospect Challenge. Watch me in the first couple of preseason games if I have the opportunity, and I'm going to bang right through that door because I want to play in front of my family, my friends in the NHL, and it may be the only opportunity. I think that Yuri Kulik may have that chip on his shoulder coming in this year, knowing it's his third pro year. It's really technically his first year of his contract, his entry-level deal, because the last two seasons he was able to slide, which is something that Konsta Alenius has available to the Sabres too. His contract could slide this year. If he plays in Rochester, it doesn't count as the first year. It would slide this year. So that's something that Jack Quinn and J.J. Peterka had happen, something that you know, Jiří Kulik has had happen. That may be something Elenius will have happen as well. But I think Jiří Kulik would be, I mean, I think of myself, if in all my years playing, they're like, hey, we're going to play regular season games in Quebec City in front of your, you know, Montreal was down the road, but Quebec City would have been like my hometown. I would have been lookout. I would have come in and just, you know, plowed, bulldozed right through anybody that got in my way because I would have wanted to get it done.
Well, so then who does Jiří do that at the expense of?
Well, I mean,
is he really going to just be a fourth liner to start the year? I don't mean to phrase it that way, obviously, but
it's not bad to be a fourth liner in the NHL, but if you're Kulik, you have bigger aspirations than to be a fourth liner.
It's not even that. I'm looking at it more with where the team has focused and, you know, they like what they've added in the fourth line. And I'm just, again, it's shifted over the last couple of years, going from opportunity to then reality. And the reality is they still haven't made the playoffs. So they shifted course to try to address a concern that they had, which is the bottom six, of which now, I think because of how it's constructed, might, I don't want to say block, because that was never where you were planning to, you know, play a first round pick anyway. But don't you feel like it's complete? Like,
here's how Zucker's I could see here. Really cool,
like, so like Zucker's got to play.
Yeah, but does Zucker has to play? Does he have to play in the top six? He doesn't really have to play in the top six.
Even if he's in the top nine, is Jiří bumping him out of the top nine? No.
Well, if Jiří Kulik has the type of camp and the type of showing at the Prospect Challenge and the type of showing early in camp that makes me think, hey, we got to give Jiří a longer look. We're taking him to Europe. We're going to play him against Red Bull. And who knows? Maybe he fits in our top six. I think if Jiří Kulik is on your opening night roster, or opening afternoon here, but it'll be a night in Prague. If Jiří Kulik is on your opening night roster, he's in the top six. I don't see Jiří Kulik being a fort liner for, you know, just to give him that, hey, he's on our roster. No, he could be in the top six. And
so is he taking Skinner's spot?
Exactly. Could you play him with Thompson and Tuck? Absolutely. Could Jiří Kulik perform and produce with Thompson and Tuck? Yes. I've always been very, very strong that I think Peterka, Cousins, and Quinn have to start together. Even though J.J. Peterka played well with Thompson and Tuck later in the year, I really feel strongly in Cousins in the middle of Quinn and Peterka. And Zucker could easily play with Benson and McLeod on a third line. So now that bumps Greenway down to the fourth line. But is Greenway better suited in the fourth line anyway and play some penalty kill minutes and be more of that one? So, yeah, I could see where Kulik, with a good showing, a great showing, can say, I'm worth top 6 minutes, especially early in the season, and then you can make an adjustment. And that's also if Krebs is not there, because if Krebs is there, then it adds another player into the mix and may scramble things.
In what way?
Well, in the way that your roster numbers now are different, because you would have 13 forwards already. And if Jiří Kulik is, you know, the 14th forward, which you probably start the season with 14 forwards, 7D, and 2 goalies, your 23-man roster, who else is coming out? And I'm not worried about...
Who else?
No, who else? Who else? Nicola Aubé-Kubel. Who else? Like, you know, I'm not worried about Sam Lafferty coming out or Aubé-Kubel coming out. And maybe it's, you know, Krebs.
Well, it's not just coming out. It's so they might have to go on waivers, which they've been through in their career.
They've been through in their careers. But I don't think that those new incoming players are bound for Rochester. I'm just saying maybe they're the extras to start the season, right?
But you can only have so many extras if Jiří makes the team. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, they already have extras right now without even considering Jiří in there.
You have one extra. If Krebs signed, you have one extra. And if Jiří makes the team, all of a sudden that's two extras that you need to sit out. That's not considering Lukáš Rusek, who's on a one-way deal moving into next year. So now maybe that's three extras. Yeah, it becomes complicated, and now it becomes more of a, what are we putting as a priority? Is losing a player through waivers or the chance of losing a player through waivers more important than having Jiří Kulik being up with the team if he performed well. I would always say if your top prospects, your top end guys perform better than the rest, they're on your team. Zach Benson last year, he performed better than the rest. He was on the team. That's as simple as that. You don't have to complicate things. You don't have to think, oh, well, what if he plays his 10th game, then he burns a year of his deal? Who cares?
Yeah, he's I don't think anybody worries. Yeah, yeah.
You know, he makes the team.
In hindsight, though, was Benson as much a standout because the preseason just wasn't that electrifying for a lot of others?
In hindsight, I think that's, again, something that you look at the training camp last season and it really fell flat. A lot of top-end players fell flat in training camp. It showed in the first, it really showed throughout the whole season. They never got themselves going intensity-wise, urgency-wise, anything, right? Through training camp and the regular season. There was one guy that stood out. It was Zach Benson. Zach Benson was showing like dog on a bone mentality. I'm working hard. I'm winning one-on-one battles. And then you're like, wow, he should be in the NHL. Now, maybe that would have been a different story if everybody would have had that urgency inside of them, that level inside of them. And all of a sudden you're thinking, okay, well, Benson is a good story, but he's not standing out as much because everybody else is at a very, very high level that we don't have to worry about it. I think it was maybe the perfect scenario for Zach Benson last year to have shown that desire and everybody really being a step back. But if you're jumping on Lindy Ruff's bandwagon and saying this training camp is going to be different, mm-hmm. I think even Zach Benson has to show another level. He has to show another level because he may not play top nine. He may be fourth line to start the season if he doesn't show another level.
Do you know the last Sabre rookie forward to score 30 plus in a season?
Last Sabre rookie forward. Alish Kotelik.
I don't think Al ever got 30.
Probably not his rookie season, but yes.
Donald Odette scored 31 times.
Wow.
in 63 games in 91-92.
I was in the right mind thinking it's a long time ago. I needed to go farther than that.
And Why do you think I brought it up?
Alish Kotelik never scored 30 in his career in a season. See?
I said that instinctively without even looking it up. Aren't you proud of me?
Yeah. See, for me, I saw his shot in practice enough to think that that guy should have scored 30 plus.
I know.
He never did, which is disappointing. I'm disappointed in Al Kotelik, the pride of Prague.
Looks good, though. Looks good.
Oh, a lot of LIGs. LIGs look in glass. Every time Al Kotelik got back to the bench, he looked in the glass behind the bench, fixed his helmet, make sure the hair was good, and then he sat down. There was LIGs. That's what we called them.
Just prior to Odette's 30-plus goals in 91-92, Ray Sheppard had 38 back in 87-88. But as a precursor to history, was edged by Joe Nieuwendyk for the Calder Trophy. And, of course, Joe would win the Conn Smythe at the expense of Buffalo in 1999. So,
yeah. Yeah. And look, scoring 30 as a rookie in the NHL is hard. It's not easy, right? Even Donald Odette only got the 30 goals in the season one more time in his career. And that was with the Atlanta Thrashers, where he got to 32. I've got his hockey DB in front of me. You know, he went from 31 to getting hurt the next year in 92-93. He scored 12, then 29, 24. Like he was a good goal scorer, but getting to 30 is hard. Could Jiří Kulik playing with Tage Thompson and Alex Tuch get to 30? I mean, JJ Paterka got to 28 last year. JJ was not technically not a rookie, but I mean, he was a young player in the NHL. Mm. I think Jiří Kulik playing with Thompson and Tuch and the fit being that let's raise our level could very well go to 25 and maybe push 30 if it all, you know, kind of sink in together.
Well, we have a team of the day. That is Tampa. That is coming up. We barely touched the defense on the Sabres Prospects Challenge roster. That's good because we can save that for tomorrow. Unless you have an urgent question pertaining to that, you can hit us up at Sabres Live.
I have an urgent question for you tomorrow is that I don't know how to say.
Will I be here?
Maybe.
TBD.
I don't know how to spell Komarov's first name. I always have to look it up. Like I have a really hard time.
I go back to 2 years
name.
Ago, development camp. And we were told that he goes by Sevi. So Komarov, I've never once looked at how to spell his first name. And I just write S-E-V-Y every time with Komarov. Or I just write Komarov because I know I'm not going to say the whole thing.
You know that Let's Play That Hockey skit from Saturday Night Live when Brady Shea's character turns around and he says, yeah, S-K-J, that's a no. Like F. V-S-E, that's a no. Like, that's how it starts, and I can't say it, so I'm going to stay away. I'm going to say Sevi. You're right. Sevi Komarov.
Yeah. Well, he's too old to play in the Hockey Fest this weekend, but he will be taking part in the Prospects Challenge. And Fan Fest is presented by Coca-Cola Zero Sugar. And as you know, it is a full day of fun from 10 to 6, hockey games, skills challenges, player appearances, autographs, and it all runs in conjunction with that street hockey tournament, Hockey Fest, which is just outside of Alumni Plaza. You can get all the information at sabres.com/fanfest. Again, it runs from 10 to 6. Now, important to note, not only if you're playing in Hockey Fest, but if you're coming down for Fan Fest, you're thinking, okay, well, where are they playing the games? They're playing them on Perry Street, right? So that means you're not going to have traffic access there. There's also road closures at South Park right now, and this makes for a concerted, you know, effort on all parts to try to make it easier for people to get there. So free parking will be available in the surface lot, which can be accessed at Perry and Baltimore or via Michigan Street. So keep that in mind. It's all part of FanFest this Saturday. We're back after this with Team of the Day.